everybody's going through. I don't know what people need to hear. I don't know what's going to happen this week that they might need to hear from you this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us to not be distracted. I pray you'd help me to allow your spirit to move and to do the work that needs to be done this morning. And I pray you'd help everybody to be challenged and maybe learn something from the scriptures this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, we read there Psalm 1, and just by way of introduction, we announced this morning the new challenge for the month of May, and the challenge is we want to challenge you to memorize the Bible. Bible memorization, Psalm 23. And what I wanted to do is take an opportunity this morning to preach or teach you on the subject of the benefits of Bible memorization. The benefits of Bible memorization. Now, you know, many times in churches, we think that Bible memorization is kid stuff. You know, the kids memorize the Bible and the kids memorize Scripture. But I'd like to show you, just have kind of a Bible study and show you from the Bible the benefits that God puts on someone who would memorize the Bible. And a lot of it is found in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, if you look at verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The first four words of the first verse there, it says, "Blessed is the man." And that's what Psalm 1 is about. It's all about a man who is blessed by God. Now, all of us would say, I want a blessing from God. I want God's goodness on my life. I want God's, favor on my life. But many of us, you know, don't understand. We just think the blessing of God happens by chance, or it happens because God decides to bless one person and not another, or whatever. But the Bible gives us a very distinct outline how we can get the blessing of God. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, the first verse deals with some negative things. He says, "The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We could preach an entire sermon just on Psalm 1:1, but that's not what I want to focus on this morning. I don't want to pass by it either. We need to understand, if we're going to have the blessing of God, there's going to have to be a separation from sin, and a separation from those who want to sin. That's why he said, "The blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So we understand that there must be a separation from sin, or those who would be ungodly, or those who would be sinners, or those who would be scornful towards the things of God. But what I want to focus on is this. If you look at verse 2, he says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I want to focus in on this idea of delighting and meditating on the Bible, or memorize the Bible. You say, what is meditating? What does the Bible mean when it says we ought to meditate on the law, His law? Well, first of all, you got to understand, the word law, many times in Scripture, is used as a word to reference the Bible, the Word of God, the law of God. The entire Bible is the law of God, or the Word of God. And he says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. That word meditate means to think about. You know, you've heard of like premeditated murder, you know, and they'll say, "Oh, that was premeditated." Why? Because they thought about it before they did it, you know, and that has a higher punishment with it, because it was something they thought about and they planned out. And that's what that word means, to meditate. It's to think about. And the Bible says that his delight, the word delight means his enjoyment is found in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. If we are going to be someone who's going to have the blessing of God, we're going to have to be someone who is delighted and who spends time meditating and thinking about the Bible and the Word of God. But there's benefits to it, and that's what I want to challenge you this morning. The sermon's not going to be very long at all, but I want to challenge you and show you some benefits that you might be able to find in Scripture in regards to why you want to be the type of person who's constantly thinking about, memorizing, reading, and meditating upon the Word of God. Look at verse 3. Well, let's read it again. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I want you to keep your finger in Psalm 1, because we're going to be coming back to it, and we're going to be actually looking at two verses next to each other. But go with me to Jeremiah. You want to go towards the right of your Old Testament, and go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 17. If you're in Psalms, you'll have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and then the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is chapter number 17. And look at verse 7. Now, if you compare Psalm 1:3 to Jeremiah 17:17, I'm sorry, to Jeremiah 17:7, you're going to find that these verses are very similar. They talk about the same concept. So I want you to have one finger in Psalm 1:3, one finger in Jeremiah 17:7, and let's look at what these verses says. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So let's just, you know, let me give you the first benefit of memorizing the Bible, or being someone who meditates on the Bible. You say, well, how is memorizing the Bible meditating on the Bible? Well, here's the thing. When you memorize the Bible, and you're trying to memorize it, put it into your head, you know, you're going to be quoting that verse multiple times, reading that verse multiple times in your mind, and as you quote that verse over and over and over in your head to try to memorize it or remember it, you know, you're going to be thinking about that all day long. And the benefit, the first benefit I want to show you about memorizing Scripture is this. You're going to have a strong Christian walk, a strong Christian life, a thriving Christian life. Look at Psalm 1:3. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Now, flip over to Jeremiah 17:8. Hopefully you got your finger in both of them. And look at what it says there. He says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." The idea is this, of a tree that happens to be planted by a river. And as this tree is planted by the river, its roots actually go down into the river, and it has full access to water at all times. You know, the Bible calls the Word of God, it refers to it, it uses an analogy of being water. And the idea there is that it's tapping into a source, you know. And the Bible says that when we take the Bible and we memorize it and we read it and we meditate on it, it's like a tree that's just got a source of water, and you've got that water there, and it can derive strength from that water. Look at verse Psalm 1:3 again. It says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. A tree that is well watered and that has the nutrients it needs, it's going to be a tree that's going to bring forth fruit. Look at Jeremiah 17:8. Towards the end of the verse there, it says, "Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." You know, a Christian who is tapped into the Word of God, abiding in Christ, like the Bible says in John, it's going to be a Christian who's always and constantly producing fruit. And by the way, when it says, "and bringeth forth his fruit in his season," it's not saying that you're going to bring forth fruit once, but it's saying you're going to bring forth fruit every season. So you're constantly bringing fruit. You're constantly bearing fruit. You say, well, what is fruit in the Bible? Well, think about what fruit is. Fruit is just reproducing yourself. You got an apple tree, and it reproduces an apple. And then you take seed from that apple, you plant it in the ground, and it grows another tree, and it's just constantly reproducing itself. You say, how am I going to be the type of Christian who's bringing forth fruit? You say, well, you got to tap into the Word of God. You say, well, how would I reproduce fruit as a Christian? Here's how you reproduce fruit as a Christian. You make other people be a Christian like you are. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's the thing. The average Christian has never, not in their entire life, led someone else in salvation. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about taking an individual who doesn't know that they're saved, doesn't know that they've got a home in heaven, doesn't know that if they were to die today, that they would go to heaven or hell, they're not sure, they've never, and then you take your Bible and you show them from the Scriptures how they can have the assurance and how they can know for sure that they are saved, that they're a Christian, and then they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. What you just did is you reproduced yourself in another individual and you brought forth fruit. You say, I'd like to be the type of Christian who can take the Bible and show maybe my neighbor, or show maybe my son or my daughter, or show somebody else how they can believe on Jesus Christ, how they can have a home in heaven, how they can be sure that they're saved. You say, how am I going to do that? You're going to do that by getting in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, understanding the Bible, And then you can take this life source and show someone else how they can be saved. And in the process, you'll be producing fruit. And God promises that as you tap into the water of the Word of God, you'll constantly be producing fruit in your season. You say, well, why does it matter? Why do I want to get other people to be Christians? Why do I want to get other people to be saved? Well, a few reasons. Number one, do you believe in hell? I mean, hell is a real place. And people who do not believe on Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. And you know, we've got loved ones, and I've got, you know, sons, and I've got family members, and I've got friends who I don't want them to die and go to hell. And if I can have the knowledge that I need to get somebody saved, and I want to present to them the gospel so that I can know that they're not going to go to hell when they die. But even more than that, the Bible says in heaven, we'll get rewarded based on how many people we were able to give the gospel to and get saved. We'll get rewarded based on our work. We just sing that song, you know, when the battle's over, we shall wear the crown. You know, you're going to get that crown, and you're going to get that reward based on how much fruit you bore. You say, well, how can I be the type of Christian who is guaranteed to bear fruit so that I can have those rewards, so that I can, you know, have a good time in heaven and maybe be able to take that crown and cast it at Jesus' feet? Well, you got to get tapped into the water. You know, the idea of that tree that's just got its roots, you know, down into a river and is constantly being fed from the water is the idea of a tree that is strong. The Bible uses the analogy of a tree that will not be moved. You know, and you got that strength. You say, how do I find, you know, maybe you say, you know, I've been a Christian for a while, or I've been in church for a while, but I'm kind of shaky. I'm kind of weak. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I'm, you know, sometimes I'm on it and I'm reading my Bible and I feel like I've got a relationship with God. And then something will happen and then I'll feel like I just, you know, fell off. You say, I'm just here and I'm not and I'm there. I feel like I'm just shaking with every wind of doctrine. You say, I feel like I don't have any strength in my Christian life. Say, where am I going to find that strength? You find it in the Word of God. But you got to meditate on it to be that tree. Look at verse Psalm 1:3 again. Look what it says. His leaf also shall not wither. Compare that to Jeremiah 17:8, where it says this, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. The idea of a tree that's planted by the river's water is this. You have these other trees that don't have access to water, and when the drought comes, they die. When the drought comes, when the heat comes, they run out of water, their leaves turn brown, and they begin to die. But this tree, it's got full access to water at all times. So the drought comes, the heat comes, the weather changes, but its leaf remains green. It remains strong and it has the strength to continue on, no matter what's going on around it, because it's got access to the water. And see, that's what the problem we have with Christians today, is that many Christians are not tapped into the Word of God. At Verity Baptist Church, we emphasize the truth of the Word of God, and we emphasize the Bible, and we emphasize a relationship with Jesus Christ, where you're reading the Bible, and you're understanding the Bible, and you're being fed from the Bible, and you're getting strength from the Bible. Because when you go to a church where the Christian life is just a show, the Christian life is just, you know, an emotion, the church service is just a rock concert, it's just an entertainment, it's just something you do for a show, but it's a shallow Christianity that doesn't have the Word of God. Where the, you know, I've been to churches where the song service is an hour and a half and the preaching is 20 minutes. You know, and that shallow type of Christianity might be fun, and it might be exciting, and it might be nice, but the thing is, there's going to come a time when the heat is going to come on your life, when the drought is going to come on. You know, you say, well, everything's good now, but all of us will go through trials and tribulations where our surroundings change, and all of a sudden, you know, we feel like we might die, we feel like our Christianity might fall apart, we feel like we might die, but if you're tapped into the Word of God, I'm telling you something, you're not going to need the rock concert. You're just going to need the water. That's going to give you strength. And I was thinking, it's funny. I was driving down the street going to pick up the donuts for this morning with my son. And I saw these ladies, you know, and it's always funny to me. And don't get offended, you know, if you don't like what I'm going to say. But it's these older ladies. There's like three older ladies, you know. And they're you know, in their upper middle age, you know, but they're all dressed up, you know, and you can tell they're on their way to church, you know, and they're waiting for the bus to come, and all three of them are just like on their, you know, they got their little mirror, and they're just pulling their hair back and doing their makeup, and thinking to myself, you know, and that's fine, hey, look, get dressed up for church, I get dressed up for church, you know, I put on a tie, and I look nice, there's nothing wrong with that at all, but I was thinking to myself, I wonder where their focus is, you know, because I've been to churches where the main you know thing at the church is who can outdo the other, you know, who can be the most done up. I mean, I've seen churches where the pastor walks in, you know, and he's got like a red suit on with red leather shoes on and the red hat with the feather, you know, and all the gold things. And look, that's fine, that's your thing. But you know, should that be our focus? You know, is that what we really should be focusing on when we're thinking, man, I'm gonna go to church? You know what our focus should be is I'm gonna go and listen to the Bible being preached. And I'm gonna prepare my heart and be fed with the water, because look, you don't know what you're gonna go through this week. You know, you don't know, tomorrow you might wake up and find out, you know, you've got some sort of a disease. Tomorrow you might find out that you've got a family member who died. Tomorrow you might wake up and find out that you don't have a job anymore. Tomorrow you might find out any sort of trial, anything that's happening in your life, and you're gonna have to be tapped into the Word of God. There's gonna have to be more in your Christian life than just a tie and just polished shoes and just a show and just some. There's gotta be more than just that shallowness. You're gonna have to dig into the Word of God. And the only way you're gonna get that strength is by meditating on the Word of God. It's by memorizing the Word of God. It's by reading the Word of God and having that strength that only God can give you. He says, his leaf also shall not wither. It says in Jeremiah 17:8, he says, and shall not see when the heat cometh. The tree that is planted by the water, it doesn't even realize that things got bad. It doesn't even realize that it got hot because it's just constantly being fed. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. You know, it's not changed by its surroundings because it's tapped into the Word of God. So number one, the benefits of memorizing the Bible is that you get a strong and thriving Christian life. Number two is that you get Bible knowledge. Go with me to Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. And this morning is more like a Bible study because I'm just trying to show you some benefits of memorizing the Bible. And challenge you to get in the Word of God and read the Bible and memorize it and what the benefits are of that. But look at Psalm 119:97. Psalm 119:97. You know, we live in a society that de-emphasizes knowledge of the Bible. Again, you know, we emphasize an emotion. We emphasize how we feel. But we don't emphasize just knowing the Word of God. But look at Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is the largest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. And it's divided. I don't know if your Bible's like this, but my Bible and all the Bibles I've ever seen, Psalm 119 is divided in by the Hebrew alphabet. You know, your Bible might start off Psalm 119 and then it'll say like Aleph or Aleph. I don't know how it's pronounced, you know. And that's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Then it'll have 8 verses. Then it'll say Beth. That's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it'll have another 8 verses. Then it'll say, you know, whatever. And it is divided into verses of groups of 8 based on the Hebrew alphabet. Well, if you look at Psalm 119 and look at verse 97, that's the beginning of letter M or Mem, you know. A good way to remember this is this is a subject that has to do with memorization. That's what, you know, I like, it says mem because it makes me think of memorization. But look at Psalm 119 and look at verse 97. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Now look at what he says. He says, through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. He says, you know, that word testimonies there is referring to the Word of God. He said, your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from the evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Do you see that? See, the benefit of memorizing the Bible is that you're going to get to learn the Bible. And as you increase your Bible knowledge, you're going to increase what the Bible says is right and wrong. But he says, look, he says, you know, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, he says, because I get the understanding of your precepts, I hate every false way. Let me ask you something. How confident are you that someone might come to you with a Bible and a false doctrine and try to teach you a false doctrine in the Bible, how confident are you that you have enough of a grasp on the Word of God to be able to say, wait a minute, I know that's not right? I mean, how confident are you that as you come to Verity Baptist Church, that Pastor Jimenez is not standing up and preaching false doctrine to you, and you not be able to grasp it? But the Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So he says, I understand what the false way is. Because let me tell you something, not all churches are the same. Okay, there are churches out there that are preaching bad things. You're like, I think all churches are the same. Well, look, you gotta wake up. You gotta understand that there is a devil out there, and the devil doesn't necessarily care that you go to church, but he does care what church you go to. If you're gonna go to a church that's not gonna teach you anything, that's not gonna challenge you to grow, that's not gonna challenge you to do something for Jesus Christ, that's not gonna challenge you to step up your Christian life, you know, hey, he's fine with you going to the church and just, you know, come as you are and leave the same way, and it doesn't matter. Just live in sin. Just do what you want. Do your drugs. Do your alcohol. And just, it doesn't matter. You know, hey, he's great with that. But you got to understand, you know, how am I going to know that I'm not being taught the false way? By getting understanding through thy precepts. He says, oh, how I love thy law, in verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. You say, I've got some people that are against me. And let me tell you something. If you're living the Christian life, you're always going to have people that are against you. Let me just break it for you. You start living for Jesus Christ, people at your work are going to turn against you. There's going to be somebody who's going to dislike you for no other reason. They don't even know why they don't like you. There's just something about you they don't like. You know what that is? It's called the Holy Spirit. And you're always going to have an enemy. You're always going to have somebody who's against you. But as you practice the things found in the Bible, as you learn and you receive wisdom from the Bible says, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. He said, everyone who ever stood up to teach me the Bible, everyone who ever understood, he said, I have more understanding than those who taught me. You know, this is what the psalmist is saying. He says, for thy testimonies are my meditation. God emphasizes Bible knowledge. God emphasizes knowing the Scripture. And let me tell you something. You're not always, you know, obviously there's always something to learn. This book is vast and we'll never understand all of it. But we should have an attitude in our life that we are constantly in the Word of God. We're constantly reading the Word of God. We're constantly, you know, memorizing and learning it and understanding it and coming to church and listening to preaching about it and knowing it so that we get that knowledge. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants you to grow and understand what the Bible is teaching. And a great way to understand it is by meditating all the day on the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. Understanding. It's going to help you in your Christian life. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 11. You're there in Psalm 119. Go back to verse 11. You say, why do I need to memorize the Bible? Well, look at Psalm 119:11. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Does it say that he has it, you know, in a New Testament in his back pocket? And look, there's nothing wrong with having a New Testament in your back pocket. I try to have a Bible with me everywhere I go. But he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. He says, I have it in my heart. And look what he said, that I might not sin against thee. You say, I want to have the type of Christian life that is a clean life. I want to serve God, and I want to love God, and I want to be right with God. Well, look, you're never going to be right with God. You're never going to be able to follow what God has for your life if you don't know what God has for your life. You've got to understand what the Scripture is teaching. And look, we can't do it in an hour, you know, three services a week. I preach for 45 minutes to an hour, you know, an hour and 15 minutes if I can get away with it sometimes. And, you know, that's not enough time to teach you the Bible. You got to think of the Bible. This is where you get your source. You're eating. Imagine if you went all week long and you only ever ate at Verity Baptist. I'm talking about physically. I mean, you came in on Sunday morning, you had your donut, and that was the meal for the week. And you came in on Wednesday night and you had Miss Carol's food, whatever she makes on Wednesday night for us, you know. And that's the only time you get all week. You say, man, you die, you know? Well, that's the same way with the Word of God. You know, when you come to church, it ought not be that this is the only time you're cracking this book open. You know, you ought to be feasting on the Word of God every day. You ought to be opening it up and reading it and learning from it and understanding from it and fix yourself some food from the Word of God. And look, you come to church three times a week and we're going to prepare a meal for you and feed you out of the Word of God as well. But that ought to be added onto your own Bible reading. reading, your own memorization, your own. Because look, you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, why do you want people in your church to learn the Bible and know about? Because look, we've got to have Christians today that are going to be knowledgeable about the Word of God. So that you don't get, because you might not always come to Verity Baptist Church. You might move away and go somewhere else. You need to know the Bible in no way. That's a false way. You know, somebody might come to your door and say, oh, we're from the church of whatever. You know, you got to be able to understand, okay, well, no, hold, wait, you're saying Jesus isn't God? Well, the Bible says, you know, that Jesus is God. You know, but if you don't know that, you might just be led away in the false doctrine. So you've got to know the Bible, understand the Bible. The benefit of memorizing the Bible is your increased Bible knowledge. And let me tell you something. Don't be the Christian who's just year after year after year, you've been in church for 20 years, and you just don't know anything. You just, there's no growth. You got to be able to see your growth and be able to look back a year from now and be like, man, I've grown. Look, you know, I'm not what I could be or should be, but I'm not what I used to be. You know, you ought to be growing in your Bible knowledge. And you grow by reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, memorizing the Bible. Number three, another benefit of Bible memorization is the filling or the power of the Holy Ghost. Go with me to Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter number 5. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Now find Ephesians 5 and then go with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians, then you have Philippians, then you have the book of Colossians. Keep your finger in Ephesians chapter number 5 and go to Colossians chapter number 3. And we're going to be comparing some of these verses together. Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at Colossians chapter number 3. I don't think there's anyone here who would say they do not want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't think there's anybody here who would say they would not love to have the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost resting upon their lives. And we as Christians, you know, we say these terms of, you know, God, fill me with your power. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, you know, use me in a mighty way in my marriage or in my church service or at my work or as I go through life. Just put your power on me and move in me. And all of us would say, yeah, I'd love to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But see, we got to understand, well, what does that entail? Are you there in Ephesians chapter number 5? Look at verse 18. Now, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So God commands you, by the way, to not be drunk with wine. You know, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And look what he says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You know, this isn't part of the sermon, but, you know, we can't get away reading it. You know, you say, why is it that you sing those old hymns and those old spiritual songs? And why don't you bring in the rock music, the Christian rock or the Christian rap? You know, well, look, the Bible says there's a certain type of music that is going to help you get filled with the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something. You know, I heard somebody say this. I thought it was a good point. God doesn't run his train on Satan's track. You know, people have this idea that we can take the world's rock and roll music, the world's filthy rock and roll music, the world's filthy, you know, just rap music or contemporary music, and as long as we take their music and then just add nice words to it, all of a sudden it becomes Christian. Look, I don't believe in Christian rock and roll. The same principle, do you believe in Christian, you know, marijuana? I do Christian crack cocaine. You know, I take the world's crack cocaine and I just put the name of Jesus on it, and now it's fine. It's the same principle. You take the world's music, you know, do you believe in Christian, you know, whatever. It's you know, God wants us to be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. But he says, you know, in verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he makes mention about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now go with me to Colossians chapter number 3 and look at verse 16 and look at how the two verses are very similar. Colossians 3:16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. He says, have the words of Christ inside of you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in, look what it says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Did you notice that it's similar to Ephesians 5? But here's the thing. In Ephesians 5, he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly and always, and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your heart to the Lord. You say, man, that's amazing. I would have never caught that. Well, if you memorize some of the Bible, or you read the Bible, you start seeing, you know, things that go together. You know, so it's interesting to me. In one verse he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. In another verse he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And he says, both of those are going to lead to this, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is that? What that tells me is this, to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to let the word of Christ dwell in you. You say, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, let me show you a verse that'll maybe help it make sense. Go back with me to John chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 6. We'll read one verse and hopefully you'll understand. Why is it that God says in one verse, be filled with the Spirit, and it's going to cause you to, you know, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then in another verse, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, and it's going to cause you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Why is it that it being filled with the Spirit is equated to letting the word of Christ dwell in you? I don't see the connection there. Well, look at John chapter number 6. Look at verse 63. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, this verse would be in red, because these are the words that Jesus spoke while he was on earth. And in John 6:63, Jesus said this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. So what is he talking about? The Spirit. That word quickeneth means to be made alive. He said it is the Spirit that makes something alive. It says the flesh profiteth nothing. And look what he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So see, it makes sense that he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Because he already told us that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. You say, I don't understand that. Look, I don't understand that either. But the Bible teaches us that this book, this King James Bible I've got in my hand, that the actual words, I'm not talking about, you know, please understand, I'm not talking about the leather binding. I'm not talking about the paper and the ink. But I'm talking about the actual words. The Bible tells us that these words are spirit. That these words are alive. Are you there in John? Go back to John chapter number 1. Look at this. John chapter number 1. Look at verse 1. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now don't miss this. And the Word was God. According to the Bible, according to John 1:1, the Bible says that the Word was. That's an E. You know, if we were doing this as an algebra, that was would be an equal sign. He says, the Word equals God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us in John 1:1 that the Word is God. We read there in John 6 that the Word is the Spirit. Look at, drop down to verse number 12. Well, actually, let's read verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on the name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, who was made flesh? Who dwelt among us? Who did we beheld his glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Who was the only begotten Son of the Father? Let me just quote for you, most famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand that the Bible teaches us that the Word, I'm not talking about the book, I'm not talking about the binding, I'm not talking about the pages, I'm not talking about the ink, but the actual Word of God, it says, it was with God. It says it was God. Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He said that they are the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus Christ. Let me just explain something to you, a Bible doctrine. This Word of God is God. Say, I don't get that. I don't get it either. We accept it by faith. The words are God. And that's why it's so vital to hide the words in your heart. Because as you hide the words of God in your heart, you're also hiding the Spirit in your heart. You're also hiding Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ said, abide in me. You know, how do you abide in Jesus Christ? You have him in your heart. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about actually having the words memorized. You know, because he said, thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The benefits of Bible memorization is being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's being filled with the Spirit of God. It's being filled as you have that. You know, he says, be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? Well, let the words of Christ dwell in you. That's how you get filled with the Spirit. So I want the power of God. We'll memorize the Bible. We'll read the Bible. We'll get the words of God inside of you. Number five, the benefits of memorizing the Bible. And this is the most exciting part for me. And this is really the main point that I wanted to show you. Go back with me to Psalm 1, where we started this morning. Go to Psalm 1, and let me just show you this. Psalm 1, and this is the most exciting part for me when it comes to Bible memorization. Look at Psalm 1:3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And look at what it says, the last part of verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now let me just make a disclaimer right now. There's a common doctrine taught out in the world today called the prosperity gospel. Let me just, you know, make it clear. We do not believe in the prosperity gospel. You say, what is the prosperity gospel? The prosperity gospel is this. That when you get saved, God is going to make it so that you prosper. God is going to make it so that you never have to go through any trials. You never have anything bad happen. I mean, it's your best life now. I mean, you just name it and claim it. You just, you know, I want that Mercedes-Benz, and you just name it, and God's going to give it to you. And, you know, this idea that God is just going to bless you, God's going to open all your doors. If you got sickness, it's because you're not right with God. If you got, you know, if you're broke, it's because, you know, that, the Bible doesn't teach that. You know, the Bible says that we're going to go through trials and tribulations. Tell Paul, you know, we were talking about, I think it was last week, Paul who got beat with rods, who got stoned, who got cast in prison. Every time he stepped into, you know, he went to a city, he just checked out the prison because he figured that's where I'm going to end up, you know, sooner or later. You know, you tell me that Paul had the prosperity gospel in his life. That's not true. But God does make a promise of prosperity. And he says that the person who he has their delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever, he says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He says, whatever he puts his hand to, it's going to prosper. It's going to do good. It's going to be great. Go with me to Joshua chapter number 1. Let me show, I want you to see this. It's very clearly taught in the scriptures. Joshua chapter number 1. In the Old Testament, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you have the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Look at verse number 8. Joshua, so you understand the context, was taking over the ministry of Moses. Moses had died, and Joshua was beginning to take leadership of Israel, and he was taking the ministry of Moses. He's starting out, and look at the challenge that God gave Joshua. In Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law, referring to the Bible, he says, shall not depart out of thy mouth. So how do you keep the book of the law departed? Here's how you keep it. You know, you're memorizing Psalm 23, and you say, oh, I gotta memorize Psalm 23. So you start off Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You say, maybe you don't have that memorized. You just take a small phrase. You say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you just keep repeating it. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 You know, in your head. 300 times. So you got it memorized. Then you move on. You know, and that's what he's talking about. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And look what he says. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So he wants you to meditate in the book of the law day and night. And look at what God tells Joshua. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. So you notice, you meditate on the word of God, and then you can observe to do according to all that is written there. You can do the things that God wants you to do because you know what God wants you to do because you've been in His book. And He says, for then, look what He says. Look at the promise He gives us. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you see that? Isn't that interesting? You say, I want the prosperity gospel. Here's the prosperity gospel. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Now, look, I don't know about you, but I would love for he has good success. I'm going to make sure that everything his hand touches is just successful. It's prospering. It's doing well. Yeah, I want to make sure that I've got the blessing of you. How do you get that? By memorizing the Bible. By having the book of the law not depart out of thy mouth and meditating on it day and night. By delighting in the word of God and by meditating upon his precepts. Let me show you one more verse. Go with me to 1 Timothy in the New Testament. 1 Timothy is towards the end of the New Testament. If you get to like Hebrews, you've gone too far. You want to go back. All the books in the New Testament that start with T are all kind of put together. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then Titus. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 13. Look at the challenge that Paul gave this young preacher, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse 13. 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So he said, I want you to give attendance. That means pay attention to. He said, I want you to give attention to reading. I want you to, you know, reading the Word of God. I want you to give attendance to exhortation. That's the preaching. That's what we're doing right now. We're exhorting you. He said, I want you to give attendance to doctrine. The word doctrine means something you taught or teaching. He's like, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. What are you meditating upon? The things that you're reading, the things you're being exhorted, the doctrine that he told you to give attendance to. And in verse 15 he says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And look what he says, that thy profiting may appear to all. God is very clear in the Bible that if you give yourself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, if you meditate, if you have the book of the law not depart out of your mouth and you meditate therein day and night, if you delight in the law of the Lord and meditate therein day and night, that the Bible is very clear that God is going to make you prosper and God is going to give you good success. And he says, thy profiting may appear to all. Now look, let me just put this out there because I don't want you to leave here thinking I said something that I didn't say. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. Let me give you a very perfect example. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we have a story of Joseph. Do you remember Joseph? You know, where he had the coat of many colors and all that stuff. Joseph is a perfect example of someone who had the blessing of God on his life. I mean, if you read, and you know, we're preaching through the book of Genesis on Sunday nights. We're going to get to Joseph soon, you know. And when you're reading the life of Joseph, I mean, everything he does, he prospers. Everything he does is successful. Everything he does is done right. But in the process, he's thrown in prison. In the process, he's lied about. In the process, he gets his brothers taken, thrown on a ditch, so they sell him into slavery. He gets taken down to Egypt. He gets sold to Potiphar, you know, one of the rulers there in Egypt, one of the big guys there. He gets sold to Potiphar, and he's a slave in Potiphar's house. But if you read, what happens is Potiphar notices he's a good worker, and he begins to give him authority, and he raises him up, and he's the second man in Potiphar's house because everything he did prospered. He went to do something, and it went well. He went to do a job, and it was successful, and he prospered. Well, then Potiphar's wife lied about him and said that he tried to rape her when he didn't. And he got thrown into prison. And then he went to prison. And then all of a sudden, in prison, they start giving him authority. And now he's a prisoner, but he's in charge of other prisoners. Because everything he did was made to prosper. And if you know the story, you know, he predicted some dreams there, and God gave him some visions or whatever. And then he rose up to being the second in command in all of Egypt. True story. Second in command of all, the only person who had more power than Joseph in Egypt was Pharaoh himself. Now look, God made everything Joseph did prosper. He had good success. Does that mean that he didn't have trials? Of course he had trials. I mean, he was lied to about his brothers, and he got sold into slavery. He was lied about with the woman, and he was put in prison. People forgot about him in prison. They said, oh, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to get you out. 2 years later, they forgot about him. And he had all sorts of trials. But look, the point is that everything that Joseph did was made to prosper. Let me ask you this. Do you want the blessing of God? Do you want when I look at my kids, okay, and I think to myself, I got a 2-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and I think to myself, I've got, you know, 18 to 20 years to, you know, 30 years if they don't get married, I don't know. You know, but I've got a certain amount of time that God has given me to raise these kids, to teach these kids, to influence these kids. Look, I want God on my side. I want God to I got a relationship. I want God to prosper that relationship. I go to work and I want God to help me at work and I want Him to give me favor. I want everything that I do for God to prosper it and bless it and give me the help that I need. Because look, I can't do it on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm short. I mean, good night. I need all the help I can get. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, so do you. And if you would just memorize the Bible, meditate on the Bible, God promises that He would prosper you, that He would make you successful. I didn't say you're going to be rich. I didn't say you're not going to have problems. But the whole time, you'll be able to identify the hand of God in your life. You know, the beauty about Joseph is that while he was going through all those trials, the entire time, he could identify the power of God in his life. He could identify that God was leading him through that. He could identify that God was with him, and he was able to, you know, you say, well, why didn't Joseph quit? Well, how was he able to go through all that and he just stay faithful and love God? Well, he was a strong tree. You know, he was planted by the rivers of water. And as things got bad around him, he just stayed strong. His leaves, they stayed green the whole time. Because he was, you know, he was tapped into the source. You say, what's the source? The Word of God. The source is not the social program. The source is not, you know, the events. You know, at church, I love it. I love to have all sorts, you know, Mother's Day tea, have it. You know, ladies' activities, have them. You know, we'll go out and we'll have, you know, we'll get pizza and we'll do all the activities. We'll do all that. But that's not the source that you got to get plugged into. You got to get plugged into the Word of God, because everything else will not help you but the Word of God. And just by conclusion, let me give you some advice. You say, I'd like to memorize the Bible. I'd like to have God prosper me. Well, do it like this. First of all, set a goal. You know, give yourself a goal, something you're going to attain. Like, for example, Psalm 23. You know, when you're starting out, you say, I've never memorized anything in the Bible. Start off with something small. Start off with something that's going to be like a confidence builder. Something that is, you know, it's easy to attain. Psalm 23, 6 verses, well-known verses. That's easy. You know, you don't want to start out saying, man, Pastor Jimenez, you challenged me today. I've never memorized the Bible. I'm going to memorize the Bible. I'm going to start with the book of Leviticus. You know what I mean? If you start memorizing the book of Leviticus, let me tell you, you're probably going to get a little discouraged, you know, after a while. You're probably not going to make it. Start off with Psalm 23. Memorize it. You know, that builds your confidence a little. Then maybe move on to another chapter. You know, get out of this time, you know, you don't want to memorize verses, you want to memorize chapters, okay? You say, I can't memorize a chapter. Well, anyone can memorize a verse. I mean, right now, we could work on it for half an hour, and everyone here, if you don't have it memorized already, could memorize John 3:16. So look, if you can memorize one verse, then you can memorize a second verse, and a third verse, and a fourth verse. You know, but you want to get in the idea of memorizing chapters. And once you memorize chapters, you start memorizing books of the Bible. Okay, so start with a goal, something attainable, something that's going to build your confidence. Don't memorize verses, but memorize chapters of the Bible. Get it all in its context. The way you do is you cut up the verses. You know, like I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just start off with the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Once you have that down, I shall not want, I shall not want, I shall not want. Do it 300 times in your head, as long as it takes you to remember it, and then memorize, you know, then put it all together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, cut up the verse into small sections that you can grasp, because you can't just take a verse in the Bible. You know, 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know, and I'm just... I'm not going to be able to quote that, you know. But I can start with, finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us. 300 times. You know, or however. You don't have to count, but just do it a lot of times. Then move on. And you put those sections together, you memorize the entire verse. Memorize a verse a day. You know, start with something easy. Cut up the verses. And you got to quote it to yourself on a regular basis. Now, here's how I try to do it, and I'm not an expert at it. I'm not very good at it. I mean, I've got a lot of work to do myself, and I'm trying to memorize the Bible, you know, also with you. But, you know, once you memorize an entire chapter, this is I have a friend who showed me this, and he found it online or something, and it seems to work. Once you have an entire chapter memorized, let's say you memorize Psalm 23. Here's what you want to do. You want to quote Psalm 23 to yourself once a day for 7 days, for a week. And then after you've done that, you want to quote that chapter once a week for a month. And then once you've, you know, done that, then you want to quote that chapter to yourself once a month for the rest of your life. And you will never forget. But see, the thing is, our mind is so delicate. We have a long-term memory, we have a short-term memory. And if you remember something, you'll remember things in your short-term memory, but if you don't keep them before you, they'll never make their way to their long-term memory. You'll just forget about them. So you got to transfer that knowledge from, you know, Psalm 23 that you memorized this week, from your short-term memory, you got to transfer it into your long-term memory. But the thing is, if you're quoting it every day, it's never going to transfer. You got to slowly bring it to where you're quoting it once a month. And if you can quote it once a month, you know, and the thing is, you say, well, Psalm 23 once a month. Well, look, if you start memorizing the Bible, once you memorize an entire book, let's say you memorize the entire book of Revelation. Let's say you get into where you've memorized 50 chapters of the Bible. Well, you're going to have to like have a schedule and, okay, I quote this verse. You know, you schedule it out and stuff like that. But start with something small. And I'm telling you, God is going to bless you for it. And you're going to learn the Bible and you're going to be glad you did it. Quote it to yourself regularly. But notice this. Did you notice that throughout the verses they kept saying things like, you're going to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. You're going to, you know, he said in Psalm 119 there, he said, oh, how love I thy law. He said, through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Let me see the verse I was trying to find. He said in verse 103, he said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let me tell you something. Memorizing the Bible is not going to work if you don't get a love for the Word of God. And you're just going to have to learn, just ask God to help you love the Word of God. And love the Bible and get in it every day, you know, and just have the discipline to turn off the television, turn off the radio, and just decide, I'm going to spend time. You say, how do I spend time with God on a regular basis? Remember we talked about that this book is God? So, I want to spend time with God. Here's how you do it. You open up the Bible, you begin to read, and you let God speak to you through His Word. You memorize the Bible, you learn the Bible. You pray and ask God, and you spend time with God, and I'm telling you, you're not going to regret it. It's not going to be a waste of time. And by the way, think about this. There might come a time in our country when they take these books away from us. You say, oh, it'll never happen. It's happened before. It's happened in other places. You know, you might get thrown into prison one day for the testimony of Jesus Christ and might not have a Bible, but they can never take it away from you if it's in here. Can never take it away from you. It's up here. You know, so memorize the Bible. We were trying to challenge you to memorize the Bible. God wants to bless you. And look, you memorize Psalm 23? Free cold stone. I mean, you can't beat that, right? So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank